Greetings. I'm Bill Klatke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Jane Carrigan, who is a board member of the National Organization of Coming to the Table. And Jane is here today to talk to us about their work in racial reconciliation. Jane, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, I'm honored that you're here because you folks are doing wonderful work, and I know our listeners will be very interested. First of all, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, could you tell us a little bit about Coming to the Table?
Great. I'd love to. Coming to the Table has been an interesting organization for me to be a part of. It started in 2005 and started as an organization to bring together people of color and white people, people who are the descendants of slaves and the descendants of slave owners, with the idea that they would come together to sit around the table of brotherhood and discuss what they had in common, discuss their commonalities, discuss their differences, and begin to put those ideas and those issues into perspective and to put them in the past, to identify those issues that perhaps had no resolution, but to understand them at least and to understand their relationship to race. And based on that, move forward. Now, one of the understandings that we have is that not everyone is, in fact, descendant from slaves and descendant from slave owners, but we are all, in fact, affected by privilege, by white privilege, affected positively or affected negatively. And that is where we focus mostly in coming to the table today.
It's quite a bit of work to do.
It is a lot of work.
Quite a bit of work to do. How long has Coming to the Table been around?
We've been around since the early 2000s. And we actually are a subsidiary of the Eastern Mennonite University. That relationship has allowed us to fully prosper. And they take care of some of our basic financial needs, and we operate within that system, and have grown slowly over time. But the nice thing is that in the last year, we have grown from 9 local groups to 30-some local groups.
Wow!
So I say we have reached a tipping point. And that tipping point has now suddenly become humongous, and we've really, really reached critical mass.
Yeah, that's
which is really important.
And it also, of course, shows what's been happening in the last few years.
Well,
making people
more
aware.
It is very true that we gained a lot of membership. We made some money, got some donations. Got people coming to local groups and ultimately formed local groups after the 2018 election. The 2016 election, excuse me.
How can someone find out more information about
The National Organization has a great website, and that website is very rich and very fulsome. ComingToTheTable.org. All spelled out, comingtothetable.org.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. That's a real good one. How can somebody get in touch with you in other ways?
I am Jane Carrigan, and my email is janecarrigan54@gmail.com. I'm happy to respond to anyone who has questions. And is it okay to give a phone number?
Absolutely, please.
All right. 301-910-1916 is my phone number. And again, identify Coming to the Table as the question, and I'm happy to answer.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. How long have you been?
My association with Coming to the Table is about 4 years now, and I began. I have a partner in Coming to the Table, Mr. Rusty Vaughn. Rusty, as he says, he's a tall, older white man who realized late in life that he was full of white privilege. And when he realized this, he was kind of gobsmacked, and he realized that it was very different for Rusty to walk into a room as a tall, white, in fact, Southern man than it was for someone like Jane, a short, female, African-American woman, to walk into a room. We had a totally different presentation, and he realized that he was full of privilege, whether he produced, whether he felt it or not, whether he intended it or not. And so Rusty kind of grabbed me by the hand and said, I'd love for you to work with me in Coming to the Table. And we began, he had actually begun Coming to the Table with just a few participants in Annapolis. And we continued to grow Coming to the Table in the Unitarian Universalist Church of Annapolis. And it became a fulsome organization there. And that's, and then Rusty asked me if I would consider becoming a board member. And I ultimately became a board member and have been very, very active in Coming to the Table. In fact, starting many local groups and doing lots of reach out in Coming to the Table.
That's great. Well, this is a ministry then, really, of the Mennonite Church.
Not the Mennonite Church,
Mennonite,
but the
University.
It is. It is of the Eastern Mennonite University. They it is part of their. The mission aligns with what they do.
Right.
And
right.
So in that way, it is part of how they believe.
Right.
But we are a separate entity.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. I'm very interested in your organization, especially because it's a grounds up really organization. For as much as you're national, at the same time, it really starts with just a couple of people.
It can start with just a couple of people.
Yeah, it could start with one.
Rusty started in his home with just a couple of people. And ultimately, when there were a few more people, is when he moved it over to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Annapolis. And local groups are different everywhere they exist. Rusty moved out he retired and moved to Albuquerque, New Mexico. And so he has taken his fervor for Coming to the Table with him. And there he recognized that the need for Coming to the Table was not so much a black-white issue, but was a Latinx issue. And a Native American issue. And so he has started Coming to the Table local groups in Albuquerque and in Denver and in several places.
That's wonderful.
Kind of quad state area. But local groups start small. We have a local group that I'm actually very proud of at the Anne Arundel Medical Center, AAMC, and it is the only group that exists in the country that is a corporate group. It's a corporate entity. That is, it exists within the corporation of AAMC. It is also the largest group in the country. They meet once a month. They meet on a lunch hour, and so it offers them the opportunity to get lots of people together. But on any one meeting group, they may have 30, 40, 50 people actually meeting. In fact, we're getting ready to split that group into at least several other groups because 50 people is just too many to have a conversation. And so we're getting ready to train some other facilitators so that we can split that group up. Now, what that group does is the current facilitator will actually send out a talking point. Sometimes it's an article, sometimes it's just a point that relates somehow to a racial issue and a medical issue. For instance, African-American women, their pain is judged very differently than the pain of any other group. And so they ask people within the medical field that come to this meeting to talk about that, how they react to that as providers of medical care.
And what to do about it.
And what to do about it. And if they recognize how they have perceived that to have happened. So that group comes fully prepared to a meeting, having already seen the question that's going to be asked.
Right.
There's another group in Montgomery County, and they will sometimes do a movement kind of thing, literally a yoga or a dance. They will they will draw. They will do a kinetic kind of thing as a part of their coming to the table monthly experience. They may watch a movie. And discuss that movie.
And I suppose there are some groups that simply are totally informal and do ad hoc.
And some groups are completely ad hoc. I'm in awe of the group in Richmond, which has something like five different meetings each month for different individuals. And sometimes they actually get together over a meal. So they actually do come to the table
literally
and have a meal and talk about issues. And I'm dying to get our Annapolis group to do that sometime.
That's wonderful. So there are a lot of different
there are a lot of different ways.
Of different models, and there's always a new one there.
And there's always a new one.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Resources, and how can our listeners help?
Well, there are many, many resources that are offered on the website, and it behooves our listeners to look at what the website says. There is one wonderful document on the website that talks about reparations, and I love this document. I was not a fan of reparations for many, many years, thinking that reparations really were not feasible. One could not make reparations to me for all of the all of what my ancestors had to go through as slaves, as enslaved people in this country. So you couldn't pay me for what had happened to my ancestors. But in fact, when I started to read this document, I realized that payment isn't what reparations mean. Reparations mean much, much more than that. It can be as simple as understanding by reading books about social justice and about racial injustice. It can be reading to your children books by persons of color.
I hate to cut you off, but we're out of time. I want you to come back for another show. We'll do part two, and we'll talk more about resources for our listeners and for what folks can do and other things connected with this.
That'd be awesome.
That sounds wonderful. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. I want to thank our guest, Jane Carrigan, who's board member of the National Organization of Coming to the Table, for being our guest today. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you.
Keep up your good work for all of us.
I sure will.
And for living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.